Well, it's a joy to be here today and filling in for my son. And I met a man on the back row, and he says, "Now, your son has really built you up." And that terrifies me right there, and because I will not live up to his expectations. But I thank God for my son, Tom Jr., and he's a great preacher. You'll find out he's a better preacher than I am. He's very smart, intelligent, very witty. See, what else did he tell me to tell you? Oh, he was real handsome. And so I got to get all that out because that affects my love offering. And but I'm glad to be here today. And 8:30 in the morning, see, there is a clock someplace. Okay, I have to watch my clock. And I was driving down the road coming here today, and it was early. And but I still get up early. I get up real early. I'm an early riser. But I was thinking about what I was going to speak on this morning, and I'm supposed to get off with the sawgrass and come down. Next thing I read is Pompano. Man, I shook my head, and I said, "I've got to wake up. I'll be in Miami before long." And so I turned around there at the gas station. Luckily, I found that station. I could turn around. But so you helped me out this morning with some good amens to keep me awake. And I thought I'd check you out to see if you're awake this morning. And so I was going to tell you this little story. By the way, turn to Proverbs chapter 1, and then I'll tell my story. Proverbs chapter 1. You know, I'm glad to be an American. I'm glad to be living in America. And when I was 18 years old, I joined the military, went over to Vietnam. And when I came home, I had a great love like I've never had before for America. I heard on the news the other day that a lot of people in America are not proud of America, but I'm proud of America. And I'm glad to be an American and glad to live here and come to church and raise my family. And I'm just glad to be an American. That was beautiful music played on that piano. And I almost got up and shouted, but I didn't want to scare you. But that was great. But this is a little story I want to use to check you out. I'm going to check you out to see if you're awake this morning. And just laugh anyway. This man had a young man had a family, and one of those big condors. Do you know what a condor is? One of those big birds, the biggest bird you can find, I think. Big condor. It's a protected bird. So this big condor flies over, and this young man runs into the house and gets his gun. He comes out, and sure enough, he kills that condor. Well, that's a protected bird, and his neighbors knew about it, so they reported. He got caught and got in trouble, and he had to go before the judge. And the judge said, "Now, why did you kill the condor?" He said, "Well, Judge," he said, "my family's hungry. I mean, we didn't have any food, and we were very hungry, and it just seemed like God brought that big bird over, and I just ran in the house and got my gun, and I just shot it, and I just was thanking God for that food." Judge says, "Well, based upon your circumstances and your situation, hungry family and that, I'm just going to let you go. By the way, young man, what does a condor taste like?" He said, "Oh, it tastes a whole lot like an eagle." Now, that's just to check you out today. And it's going to click in a little bit later. I know it is. But we better go to Proverbs chapter 1. I got better material in this book. The dear lady over here, she shook my hand. She said, "You got cold hands." I always have cold hands. Normally they say, "You got cold hands, you got a warm heart." She said, "You got cold hands because you're nervous." I said, "You must know me." It reminded me about the guy that was driving down the road, and police pulled him over, and he couldn't hardly hear. I've lost the hearing now this ear over here also. I shot my gun, went hunting last year and shot that, and lost my hearing, most of them this year, and it's just aggravating. But the elderly man was driving down the road, and he got pulled over by the policeman. And the policeman said, "Sir, you were driving too fast." And his wife, she couldn't hear very well. And he said, "Well, what did he say?" And he said, "We were driving too fast." And so the policeman said, "Oh, I looked at his license plate, and I see you're from Alabama." The wife says, "What did he say?" He said, "He saw that we're from Alabama." Police officer said, "Well, I met a lady one time from Alabama. She was the meanest, grouchiest, hard to get along with woman I've ever met in this world." "What did he say?" "He said he thinks he knows you." I'm getting better at it. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8. That's where I got to go. Let's see. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Verse number 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Verse number 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Chapter 2, verse number 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Chapter 3, verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Verse number 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Verse number 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Chapter 4, verse number 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Verse number 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Chapter 5, verse number 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. Verse number 20. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Chapter 6, verse number 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thine hand with a stranger. Verse number 3. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Verse number 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Chapter 7, verse number 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, I come to you today. The dear lady is right. I am somewhat nervous. I'm always nervous. I'm always nervous before I preach. But Lord, in many ways, that's good because that helps me to depend totally upon you. And that's what I want to do right now. I want to give my life to you. I want to give everything I have to the Holy Spirit that he might fill me. I want to empty myself to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit of God just simply means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. So that means everything I say, the Holy Spirit will help me to say, and things I shouldn't say, he'll stop me from saying today. I need that power. Every preacher needs the power of God. Lord, I pray for your power upon my life. I pray, Lord, that Jesus Christ shines through in everything we say today. I pray, dear God, that we exalt the Lord Jesus. We lift him up. I pray, dear God, that if somebody here today is not saved, they'll get saved today. Want to be a Christian mom, Christian daddy. Lord, there's some Christian moms and dads here that need to maybe rededicate their life to raising their children up for God. Lord, I don't know. I'm just asking you to use my life today. I come to want to be a blessing. And I pray you'd use me, and I'll thank you for it. And I love you, Jesus, in your name. Bless Tommy today. Bless Aaron today as he preaches. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk to you today. This is the early service, or early mass, whatever you might call it, early service. And I'm going to preach two sermons today, one now and one in the next hour when I preach. And I thought, now, why would you preach two different sermons? Because if I bomb this one, I didn't want to bomb it twice. Amen. Not really. I want to talk to families today. I want to try to help families. You know, God has given my wife and I, by the way, my wife is doing well today. She thanks you for your prayers. She went through breast cancer and went through that the chemo and the radiation and did all that. And then it wasn't long after that, she fell and broke her shoulder. And back to back and had to have surgery on her shoulder. And my son, Tom, I know he told you. I said, son, how am I going to ever face your people? Because you told them that I said that she fell over there at Chick-fil-A. And then, I started thinking, falling at Chick-fil-A, we're going to make some money or something. And then they said, well, no, she fell in Amy's driveway, so now he's going to sue Amy, and none of that's true. You can't believe everything he says. Only from the Bible can you believe what he says. I'm telling you, the sun enhances. He builds those stories up a little bit. His fish that he catches get this big, is what I'm trying to say. Right, money? But I want to talk to you today. 15 times Solomon, the wise Solomon, the wisest man outside the Lord Jesus Christ, the wisest man in all the world, 15 times he says, my son. And what he's doing is he's teaching his son. God had given him a son. I don't know if God has given you children, but if God has given you children, they do come from God. And God has blessed you. And God has given you the very children that he wants you to have. I have a dear lady up there, and she comes to my church once in a while, and I led her to Christ. And she has a son that for 28 years he's been in the bed. He never walked, but one day, maybe a year ago, all of a sudden he got up out of his bed and just blew her away and scared her to death. When she walked in the room, he was standing up. But the young man has never spoken a word in 28 years. For 28 years, she's changed his diaper. So 28 years, she's fed him through a tube. For 28 years. And I said to this dear lady, Carmen, God chose you to put that young man in that home because nobody else could do what you want to do. Her husband walked off years ago because of him. But she stayed. Like an arrow, God shot that boy right into her home. And God shot the very children in your home that he gave you. And I'm thankful for the four that he's given us. But I hear Solomon speak to his son, and I know that whatever Solomon teaches his son, that's the Holy Spirit speaking through the Word of God. He preserved it. And he's saying, now, Tom, you teach your children the same thing. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I tried to do. So I'm going to talk to you today about some things every parent ought to teach their children. Every child should know this when they leave their home. Now, my sermon is like a little choo-choo train. Dr. Long said, now, build your sermon like a choo-choo train so you can cut it off at any time. So I got several points, but I'll cut it off on time. And I don't want to hear any whistles out there or anything like that, but it's like a choo-choo train. Now, God has given you great responsibility, parents. Grandparents, you know, grandparents are raising children today too. But God has given us a great responsibility. He said, now train up a child the way that he should go. So we're to train our children the way they should go. I just finished preaching several messages on raising children and training up that child in the way that he should go. God has a plan for his life. And God wants you to train him up. Now, if God said to train your children up, if he tells you to do that, he's going to enable you to do that. And I do want you to know that it's not easy raising children. It wasn't easy for my wife and I to raise the four children, but God enabled us to raise the children, and the children are living for God, and all I can say is glory to God and thank God for his wonderful grace. A lot of people don't like sermons on raising children and family because we're not doing very well. And a lot of people don't like to hear sermons on the family because they think the pastor is standing up there thinking he's something, some great parent. I am not a great parent. I'm not a perfect parent. There are no perfect parents. There are no expert parents. Amen? I mean, I failed just like everybody else. So how do you raise your children? How do we do it? Well, God was so good to us. What God did, God said, now I want you to train that child up, but I'm going to tell you how to do it. And so what God did, he left us a book called the Bible. Amen? It's our manual. Aren't you glad that God left you a manual? The other night I was with my friend, and he has a Toyota truck just like I do, and he had a flat tire. Well, I said, here, I'll help you change that flat tire. I got a Toyota truck. I'll crawl under there. I think you just crawl under there. I think there's something, a wing nut of some sort, and you unscrew that, and that tire is going to drop down. Well, I got underneath that truck, and I didn't see anything. How in the world? I was under, I don't know how long. I said, you got any C4? I said, we're going to have to blow this tire off of here. That's the only thing I know to do. Hold it. Do you got a manual? He said, yeah, there's one in the glove box. Let's get the manual. That's pretty smart, isn't it? Look in the manual, and they say, right above the license tag is a little rectangle hole about this big, and you stick that rod through there and you crank her down. Well, we tried it for half an hour and finally it worked. The manual. God's given us a manual. And what we need to do, we need to get in the book And we need to quit thinking somebody else knows more than God. Amen? So we get in the book. Thank God he left us a manual. Thank God he left us prayer. He left us the throne room to help us raise our children. Nobody can raise their children without God's help. If you want them to turn out right, you need prayer. Amen? They need prayer. I promise you, to raise your children, you're going to have to get on your knees. I made so many mistakes, and I'd have to pray and ask God to help me and to cover up my mistakes and to intervene in raising my children. But I thank God I had prayer. You know, I still pray for them today. I raised my children. Many of you in this room, you've already raised your children, but I tell you what, they're not finished yet. And they something could always happen in their life. They could always go wrong. They could always go down the wrong path. I still pray for mine. I pray for mine. You better pray for yours. Mm-hmm. So thank God for prayer. Thank God he's left us some good examples. Thank God there's good examples in the Bible about those who raised their children well. Thank God for the examples that he left us. Look in verse number 4, chapter number 1. Verse number 4. He said this, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. I need to show you the word simple. I read this one day about the word simple, and the word young man means big boy, but big body, but still young in his mind. But this is the word simple. The word simple really means no folds. It kind of means no pleats. Some of you ladies in this room, you have my wife, I think, has one somewhere hidden in her closet. I'm not sure, but you have a skirt in your closet. It's called a pleated skirt. Now, if you have a pleated skirt, it's sort of like my ties. You know, I've got all kinds of ties. I got fat ties. I got skinny ties. I got in-between ties. And I hang on to all my ties. Because they're out of date right now, but pretty soon they're coming back. Amen? When the tide changes. So you hang on to that pleated skirt. It's coming back. I can guarantee you it'll come back. But you got a pleated skirt, but you kind of compare the pleated skirt to the other skirts. And the other skirts are just kind of plain. They're just simple. They're straight. They're not folded. So you have a pleated skirt, and Solomon's saying, now what you want to do is you want to teach these things to your children why they're simple, why they're not pleated, why their life is not folded, why their life is still plain. Teach these things why they're young, and teach them why they're simple, because pretty soon life becomes complex. Does it not? It becomes complex for all of us. Life becomes interwoven and folded. And pretty soon we got problems on top of problems on top of problems. So he said, now teach these things to your children while they're simple, while they're young. I saw the cutest thing on the news the other day. It was a 5-year-old boy. The 5-year-old boy was talking to his mother, and he was in bad shape emotionally, especially. He had 3 girlfriends. And he's... said to his mom, "Mom, I know I got to give up one, Mom. But I got 3 girlfriends. I can't keep all 3 of them. I got to give up one, Mom. But they're all so pretty." His mom says, "Oh, it's tough, son. I know it's tough being a 5-year-old. What are you going to do?" He said, "I don't know, Mom, but I wished I was 4 again." At 5 years old, he's already getting complex. He's already getting some pleats and already getting some folds in his life. But teach your children. So let me give you some things that we're to teach our children. Why they're young and why they're simple. By the way, they will not get this teaching in the public school. They will get this teaching. They need to get this teaching in their home. This is Solomon teaching my son. They'll need to get this type of teaching in the home supported by the church. My children. By the way, my children are serving God today, and I thank God for that. The greatest statement I ever heard about raising my children came from my own pastor, Dr. Keene. And he said this, he said, "Now Tom," said, "whatever you do, don't raise your children up just to include God. You raise them up for God." There's a big difference because many of us just want to include God and come to church on Sunday and whatever. But we want to, God has a plan for their life, and God gave you that child. So raise that child up for God. Don't forget that. The greatest thing that ever helped me in raising my children is I had my home, I had my church, and I had my school, all three in agreement. I had that threefold cord, which was so strong. They didn't come home and say, "Dad, well, you know, you teach us at church, but in school or someplace else, they teach it differently." No, I thank God I had that. That helped me greatly. Home, church, and school in agreement together. Solomon, the first piece of information. Look in verse number 7. He wants to teach his son. Watch this. He said, verse 3, he's given my son. He says in verse number 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Here's Solomon's first piece of instruction. He said, now, whatever you do while they're young, while your children are very young, teach them to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord, Brother Jay said that. You know, Solomon in 1 Kings chapter number 3, in verse number 3, the Bible said that Solomon loved the Lord. So here's Solomon, and he's a Christian daddy. Now, it's sad later on when you read about Solomon. Solomon didn't always live for God. He married a bunch of women, the wrong women, and they turned his heart. And God had already told him, now, these women are going to turn your heart. And so he didn't always live for God. But at this point in his life, he's teaching his son. He loves the Lord Jesus. And so he's going to teach his child here to fear the Lord. And we need to teach our children to fear the Lord. You know, if the children have a Christian mother and father, they better thank God for that. You know, my dad got saved when I was about 8 years of age, and my mom, but I thank God I had a Christian daddy, but my children have always grown up with a Christian daddy, and you better praise God if you have a Christian mom and a Christian dad. I want you to know that. But we need to teach our children here. We need to teach them to fear the Lord. Solomon says, now, son, the fear of the Lord. You know why he's going to teach the fear of the Lord? Hear this now. Because he understands that no life is a success unless it has been prepared for the next life. Give me an amen on that. That's kind of weak. No life is a success unless it has been prepared for the next life. Regardless of the accomplishments of my children or your children, however they turn out, they may become the president of the United States, or they may invent something great. I don't know. They may become the president of a company, but I tell you, you're going to find out there is no success unless they've been prepared for the next life. What doth it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul, Jesus said. So he'll be a failure at the end of life if he's not prepared for the next life. So we need to teach our children while they're simple. Teach them to have a reverence for the Lord. You see, Solomon, I think he's teaching his son, and he's still young. He probably doesn't understand salvation yet. He doesn't understand the word redemption yet. He doesn't even understand what sin is all about yet. But Solomon is beginning to teach his child to have reverence for the Lord. And we're going to teach our children to have reverence for the Lord while they're young. While they're little. Simple. Teach them their first memory verse. Jesus loves me. Teach them Jesus loves me. Teach them for God so loved the world. Take your little children for a walk at night. Look up at the stars and say, look up there. Look what God made. Look what God did. Look at the sun. Look at the moon and look at the stars. God did all that. You put that in their mind while they're young. Somebody else is going to try to put in their mind that that's all evolved. You put in their mind God did it. Amen? You put in their minds that you go out for a walk and see the little flowers and pick a flower and tell your child, look what God did. Look at his design. Look at the painter. Look what God did, the creator. You are constantly putting in their mind a reverence for God. I did that with my children when they were young, and I can remember your pastor called him Tommy. I can remember Tommy. We're out there catching them night crawlers at night. We like to go fishing. He still does. And we're catching those night crawlers, those big old worms about snake long. And you got to pull them up out of the hole without pulling their heads off, and that don't always happen. But you got to pull them up out of the hole. And my son, he was having a blast. It was rain. They come out after the rain. And old Tommy said, Dad, he said, he's just having a blast. He said, now, Dad, tell me, now, when is it going to rain for that 1,000 years? And son, reign for you got the reigns all mixed up, son. Jesus Christ is going to come and rule and reign for 1,000 years. In his mind, he thinks we're going nightcrawler hunting for 1,000 years and we're going fishing. But we're just putting in his mind, he already knew about the reign and talking about Jesus all the time. They have a reverence for God. Listen, the food that you eat at your home, you tell your children, you pray, and listen, you pray over your food at home, you pray over your food at the restaurant. I don't mean drop the napkin and on the way down say a little prayer, but I mean you pray for your food right in the restaurant, and you let your children know that this food came from God. God gave you that food, and you're just putting that reverence for God in their life, and every good and every perfect gift coming from above. I mean, you're just teaching your children about God. You know, over there in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, you talk about young Timothy. It said, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. His mama and his grandmother taught that young child while he was simple and while he was playing. They told him the Scriptures, and they told him about salvation. He got saved as a young boy. Thank God for that. Listen, you just keep telling the story of Jesus to your kids. You know, some of you today, you remember a story that you have from, that you learned maybe from your grandparents or your father, and he told you a story, and the reason you remember that story is because they told it over and over and over. I tell my little grandchildren, tell them the story about old Timmy. That Timmy was a squirrel, and I would tell them this story, and I got the book from Danny Coyle, and it's about a squirrel, and Timmy was a squirrel with a big tail, and Timmy, his teacher told him that down at the water, down his mama said, stay away, there's alligators down there. But Timmy's teacher said, no, there's no alligators down at the water. And so Timmy decided to disobey his mama, and he went down to the water. And Timmy's a squirrel, and he starts crawling out on this what he thought was a log. He got out on that log, and that old log started to move. And pretty soon Timmy realized that this thing's not right. And that big old alligator made a big old turn and came back and tried to get Timmy. As Timmy was running off that alligator, and he got his tail and bit his tail off. And I tell that story, and boy, I got that old alligator, and I've got him just a door like this. And I'm teaching that disobedience to parent thing. And my little grandchildren still remember that story today because we told it over and over and over. And you tell your children about Jesus over and over and over. And one day you're going to hear the most precious words in your life. Mama, I want to get saved. I want to accept Jesus. I want Jesus to come into my heart. Listen, that was the greatest words we ever heard from our children. Teach them reverence for God. You know, even when I disciplined my children, I taught my children. I said, now listen, when we discipline, God wants me to do this. And you did wrong, and you broke the rules, and you broke God's law. And we bring God even into our discipline. And we would say, now God tells us as parents to spank our children in certain situations and to deal with our children. And son, I'm doing this because God said so. And then I'd give them famous words. Now, son, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And he would say in his heart, Dad, you're lying. But then I would commence. But I even brought God into all that. Teach them to have a reverence for God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. You know, I even taught my children to have a reverence for God, but I taught my children to fear God. Just like I feared my daddy. You know, I feared my daddy. I loved my daddy, but I feared my daddy. You know, back in the 20th century when I was growing up, way back then, if you got in trouble at school, you know what happened? You got trouble when you got home. So I didn't do a lot of things in school because I feared my dad. Because if I got in trouble in school, if I got a spanking in school, you know what happened? I got one when I got home. It's called double jeopardy. And they should have locked dad up, but I didn't squeal on him. But I feared my dad. You ought to fear God. Listen, Christians, you can't live any way you want to live. You can't say, well, I'm saved and I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven. I can just live any way I want to. You can't. For whom the Lord loveth, he'll chasteneth. He'll not let you live in sin. We better teach our children to fear God. Sometimes I see these kids running around with a t-shirt on that says, no fear. And I think you're foolish. That's not, you better fear God, and you better fear hell. You better have some fear. We ought to fear God. Solomon, what else are you going to teach your child? Look in verse number 8. He said this, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." You know what he did? He taught his children to obey. Huh. Lord, we need to do that today. Teach your children to obey. I'm going to read something to you. This came from the Minnesota Crime Commission. It's a secular body. And they came to this factual and rather frightening conclusion, which young parents would do well to note. It goes like this. Every baby starts life as a little savage. He is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it. His bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toy, his uncle's watch. Deny him these wants and he seethes with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. He is dirty. He has no morals, no knowledge, no skills. This means that all children, not just certain children, all children are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in the self-centered world of his infancy, given free rein to his impulsive actions to satisfy his wants, every child would grow up a criminal, a thief, a killer, or a rapist. That is from a purely secular organization. But you know what? You know what? God knew that before they did. And so God wrote in the manual, God wrote in his book, he said, now, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Foolishness is rebellion. Foolishness is disrespect for authority. And he says it's bound in the heart of a child. We all know that. We were like that. We're all born with a sinful nature, are we not? You never taught your child to do wrong or disobey, but he just knows how to do that because we're all born with that sinful nature. And he said, the rod of correction shall drive it far from thee. I don't have time to tell you, but that corporal punishment is in the Bible. And parents used to use it. The schools used to use it. And it worked. Some of us remember we used to have to go get our own switch. Man, we made sure we got a little one. Man, we had to peel those things down sometimes, I think. Time out works. But time out doesn't work for everything. Sometimes you have to get a little stronger. I used to say, time out while I go get. I don't believe in any abuse. None whatsoever. You're going to discipline your child, there's a correct and a proper way to do that. A godly way. A way in which they will know that you love them. That's what I tried to do. I didn't always do it right. But I want to do it right. So I disciplined my children. You've got to teach them to obey. Teach your kids to obey the instruction of dad and mama's law. Mama's law. Mama's home all the time. She's got rules. And mama's there all the time. You need to obey mama. And we come home as a parent. Sometimes my wife would say, now, you need to take care of them. And I didn't like doing it, but I had to do it. And being consistent was the key. You know your little children when they're simple. Don't touch. You got all your little knickknacks out. And some parents say, well, let's just put them up. No, don't put them up. Teach them not to touch. So when they're going to touch, they're little children. And so you see them, they're about to, don't touch. And so they you're over here and don't touch. They look back at you, you know, like this. And you know exactly what they're going to do. So you're ready for it. And he's going to touch. Is he not? Right then and there, you better teach them while they're little to equate that pain with disobedience, and you better smack their little hand, and we don't usually use the hand, or maybe that little rod, but you're going to teach them while they're young. You better do that. Now, we grandparents, we do put things up. We have a different set of rules for grandparents, amen, but you parents. I don't have time to take you over there, but old Eli over there in 1 Samuel chapter 2, he's got his sons over there, and you read about those two boys. You read about Eli over there. Eli didn't teach his sons to obey. And they grew up in a Christian home. And God dealt with them. Reverence. Teach your children to obey. Quit letting the three-year-old run the house. Quit getting the meal destroyed when you go to the restaurant. Amen? Teach them to obey. That's a whole sermon. Let me give you number three. Look at verse number 10. The train is moving on. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Now, what he's going to teach his son right here, he's going to teach his son while he's young, before the pleats, before life becomes complicated, before it becomes interwoven with all kinds of problems in his life, while he's still simple, he's going to teach them about walking with the wrong crowd and walking with the right crowd. By the way, both are around. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's the ungodly out there. There is the wrong crowd. And what we have to do with our young kids and our children while they're young, and even while they're adolescents now, we need to teach them about the wrong crowd. There's the wrong crowd out there. The wrong crowd will lead your child in the wrong direction every time. You know, the Bible is filled with great stories, and the Bible is filled with great examples. So the Bible said, now listen, Tom, learn to live life not by experience, but learn to live life by example. I've left you all kinds of examples in the Bible. And so he leaves us all kinds of examples in the Bible about going with the wrong crowd. Do you know Abraham went with the wrong crowd? Abraham, the friend of God. He goes down into Egypt. He shouldn't go down to Egypt. I know there's a famine, but God is God. God is great. God is able to provide. God will take care of you, Abraham. You don't need to go down the world. You don't need to go down there in that crowd. But he goes anyway, and he gets with the wrong crowd and marries the wrong woman, Hagar. And we're still paying a lot for that. Over there in the Middle East is a mess because of that. They're still fighting. You know, Peter got in the wrong crowd, didn't he, Peter? I mean, we think of the great Christian Peter was, but he was a great Christian, but he thought, well, I'm strong enough, I can get with the wrong crowd. And so that night during the trial, he's out there with the wrong crowd. He's at the fire. He's warming his hands. Come with the crowd pretty soon. They're cussing. Now he's cussing. He's denying the Lord Jesus Christ. He's denying him. Got with the wrong crowd. Didn't want people to know he was a Christian. Got with the wrong crowd. You know, Solomon got with the wrong crowd, married all these women. You know, the Bible says he's the wisest man in all the world, but sometimes I doubt when I read that part where he married 700 women. That's not too wise, Solomon. I think one's enough, but he's got 700, 300 concubines. But he got with the wrong crowd and they turned his heart. Our kids get with the wrong crowd, they'll turn their heart. There is the wrong crowd. The wrong crowd. Look in chapter number 1 and look in verse number 10. Here's what the wrong crowd says. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not down the way with them. They're going to say, come, cast your lot in with us. Come with us. That's the wrong crowd. You see, that's the crowd that says, hey, hey, we just picked up a six-pack. Come with us. Hey, we just got some marijuana. Listen, we're messing up America awfully bad with this marijuana stuff. Say what you want. When I was overseas in Vietnam, I'll tell you that we lost so many men because they were high on the marijuana. They would get off the helicopters and they'd be on some trip and they'd see their eyes would be way up in a tree someplace and just moving along and getting mowed down. I don't want to be driving down the road with that crowd that's all high and just mows in down the road. I tell you, they can't judge properly, and they're going to take out mailboxes and cars. I know it's going to happen all throughout America. You watch and see. It's the wrong crowd. The wrong crowd that says, hey. It's the wrong crowd that says, hey, come on, let's go find some women. It's the wrong crowd. Better protect your children from that crowd. As a parent, I would tell my children, you can ask Amy, you can ask Aaron and Tommy, you're not going to go with them. Oh, Dad, listen, it wasn't easy to say, no, you're not going to go. I'm not going to let you go. And it may turn into a little fight, but it was a fight worth winning on my side. Because I knew, they're preacher's kids. Yeah, but the weaker always pulls down the stronger. Don't forget that. Listen, I preached many times in the prisons up there in Michigan when I go to the prisons up there, and I hear them all the time give their testimony. The reason I'm in prison is I got with the wrong crowd. Moms and dads, know who your kids are running with, and don't let them go with the wrong crowds, and just spare them, I pray you do, in that wrong crowd. That crowd that says, there's the crowd today that just goes by situation ethics. If it feels good, let's do it. There's a crowd today that has no absolutes, and everything goes. There's the wrong crowd. If you want your children to grow up and serve God, you better watch the crowd they run with. Teach your children to reverence God. Teach them to fear God. Teach them to obey. Teach them to run with the right crowd. By the way, in the Christian school, there's a wrong crowd. In the Christian college, Bible college, there's a wrong crowd. Train moves on. Look in chapter 1, verse number 20. My daughter told me to preach till quarter till at least. I'm obeying. Verse number 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. I say this quickly. Son, he said, get wisdom. What's wisdom? You know, you need to teach your children to get wisdom. Wisdom in the Bible here in the book of Proverbs is personified as the lady speaks. And you need to teach your children wisdom. So I want to know what wisdom is. Wisdom is really just seeing life from God's point of view. You're wise to follow God's ways. God is always right. Amen. Psalm 119 verse 120, I perceive all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Concerning all things to be right. God's always right. And so you teach your children to get wisdom. Where am I going to get wisdom? Wisdom cries out every time we open up the Bible. Every time the pastor preaches to you, and every time somebody speaks to you in that Sunday school class and they open up the Word of God, wisdom is crying out. And so you have your family altar. You tell your children, listen, this is what God says. I don't care what the lawmaker says and legislator says maybe or the school board says or what somebody else says. This is what God says and God knows best. And we're going to get wisdom from God on the subject. Amen? And so you teach your children, listen, let's just believe the Bible. Let's believe the book. Let's believe the Word of God. Let's get wisdom. Let's teach our children to get wisdom. I'm going to leave that, but they need to get wisdom. You know, a lot of people spurn wisdom. It talks about it in chapter number 1. Man, the devil must be mad today or something. Some spurn wisdom, some scorn it. But you read the chapter, God says you're a fool if you do that. Get wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let me move the train just a little quicker. Every child needs to know this before they leave your home. Every child needs to know this. Look in chapter 2, verse number 1. Chapter 2. My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Look in verse number 12. Deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Verse 16, deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger with flattereth with her lips. Solomon's going to teach his young children while they're little. He's going to have to teach them about the opposite sex. Somebody's teaching your children. I don't want the public schools teaching my children about sex education and all that. They're going to do it, but I want to be the parent. Amen? I don't know. Call me old-fashioned if you want, but I believe this. I believe our children know too much too early. So they teach them these things, and they go out and practice these things. Uh-huh. You got to teach your children about the evil man. You know there's an evil man out there. God knew there would be evil people out there. I mean, people that are wicked and depraved and full of lust and will take your children and do terrible things to your children. So you've got to teach your children, be careful out here. There's evil men out there. Don't you get in the car with somebody. Amy Tiffany, don't you ever let somebody touch you in certain places. You're teaching your children. That young man out there, listen, He'll rob your young daughter of her purity, and he's being wicked and all that. And you better teach your young girls that that young man is always one step ahead in his thinking. I taught them that. Listen, if he's sitting close to you, he wants to hold your hand. He's one step ahead. If he's holding your hand, he wants to kiss you. If he's kissing you, he's got another step in mind. If he's got that in mind, he's got another step in mind. He's always one step ahead in his thinking. Teach your children. There's an evil man out there. We better teach them to stay pure and clean and holy, and abstinence is the key. And tell them about the strange woman out there. Young sons, there's women out there, and they're promiscuous, and the son, you're a handsome young man, and you're gonna attract these ladies, and I just want to tell you about that. Oh, I had kids tell me in the 7th and 8th grade, preacher, you don't know the temptation out there. And those girls will come and they'll do awful things. They'll lift up their blouses. They'll do all kinds of things. But you've got to teach them about the strange woman out there. And you read about it in the book of Proverbs. I don't have time because I'm giving my last one here. But there's a young man out there and he meets the strange woman. She's coming looking for him. And he's way out there, way late at night. It's dark out. It's twilight. He's got to the twilight. What in the world is a young man going out that late? We need to teach our children nothing good happens past 11, really. Amen? Be home by 11. We need to teach our children about the strange women out there. And son, don't ruin your life. Save yourself for your wife. Save yourself. Amen? Teach them while they're young. God has a mate for you. Pray for that person in your life. Pray for them. I did. I'm glad Amy married Jay regardless. He terrified me too when I saw him. I wish I had time to talk to you. I got one more minute here. Here's what I taught my children. Now, I'm not a perfect parent, but I got the book. God, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to raise these children, God. I don't know. I only get one chance. I know that. I need your help, God. All right, Tom. Just get in the book here. I'll tell you how to do it. And he said this, look in chapter 3 for my last one. The train will stop. Look in verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know what you need to teach our children? We need to teach our children why they're simple. Before the folds and the pleats start arriving in their life, and before it comes complex, we need to teach them right now. Son, let me tell you what the way of true success is all about. The way of success. He said, now, trust in the Lord. Verse number 5. I'll teach them to trust in the Lord. That's what we need to teach our children. Trusting for salvation, but trust in the Lord, Tommy. Trust the Lord, Amy. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't prop not. He said, lean not unto thine own understanding. He said, acknowledge him. So we want to acknowledge him. So we want to thank him. We want to bring God into every aspect of our life. We can't figure things out for ourselves. Let's acknowledge him. Oh, son, let's pray and ask God where we should go to school. Let's pray and ask God where we should go to college. Let's pray and ask God what our vocation should be in life. Let's pray and ask God who you should marry. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, ask him, seek him, and he shall direct thy path. Somebody tell me a better definition of success than to stand before God someday, God having directed your path and you've done the will of God. My kids are doing the will of God, and in their life right now, I can say to God be the glory, but that is the definition of success, doing the will of God for your life. The world's going to say success is becoming a billionaire. You won't be happy. They're not happy. Success is doing the will of God. Standing before God someday and hearing God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. He did say in that verse number 9, he said, or verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Do you know that little child in the womb gets everything from the mother? He makes no decisions. She makes no decisions in the womb. The baby doesn't decide what it's going to eat. Mama decides what the baby's going to eat. Amen? You're getting pizza tonight. Tomorrow night, you get spaghetti. You know how it works. Mama's that, and that umbilical cord becomes that connecting link between mama and that baby. Teach your children. You need to have the connecting link. You need to have God as your connecting link. Seek Him, son. Ask God all the time. Lean not on thine understanding, but in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy path. I'm going to ask you, though, trust in the Lord. Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, you need to become a Christian parent so you can teach your children these Christian principles. If you're not a Christian parent, you need to become a Christian parent today. And say, I want to become a Christian parent. I'm going to raise my child up, not just to include God, but for God. You can accept the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, by faith. You trust Him. You reduce all your hopes of getting to heaven right down to one person. And that person is not you, the preacher, anybody else. It's Jesus who died for you on the cross, shed His blood, that you might have eternal life as a free gift if you put your trust in Him. Have you ever said to this with your little children, somebody's going to babysit the children, and you said, now, I'm leaving, but I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you to watch my children. I'm trusting you to take good care of them. I'm going to trust you. That's what I did with God one day. I said, I'm going to trust you, Jesus. I'm going to trust you with all my heart. I'm going to trust you with everything I have. I'm going to trust you with my soul. And I'm just going to trust you to be my Savior. And I'm going to invite you in to be my personal Savior. And I did. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can trust Him today. You might be a parent here today. You need to rededicate your life. One day you did dedicate your children, but the dedication of your children was really a dedication of parents. Maybe you need to rededicate yourself to get back in the manual here. Say, I'm going to train my child up for God. Let's pray.